Good morning, Pet Appreciators. Good morning, Twin Cities, and welcome to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's Kathy Menard, your host, and it's just me, myself, and I today, and you, all of you. Dr. Nicole has taken the day off, but she will be with us next week. Matter of fact, if you're wanting to call and talk in with her or talk with her, call in and talk with her. She is going to be on February 11th with us and February 25th. Just so you know, Pet Appreciators, that's when Dr. Nicole will be joining us again. But a very warm good morning to you. A warm hug to everybody out there. My gosh, it's frigid out there, but we'll pull through. We'll make it through. It's another super cold day, but it's a very exciting weekend around here, isn't it, Pet Appreciators? And I had so much fun last Sunday. If you were listening a couple weeks ago, Pet Appreciators, I told you at the end of the show that I was going to do whatever I could to try and do the show live at the starting line of the John Berrigrease Sled Dog Marathon. And many of you who have been listening for a while know that Jason Rice, who is a big, big part of organizing that event for many years, comes on year after year after year with us. And I just wanted to see it, you know? And I talked to John McEntee, and many of you who are listeners here know that, or on AM 950 know that John McEntee is a big part of this radio family here. But he was not able to help out, and, you know, I talked to Brett, and Brett gave me some great ideas, the main engineer here, but I just was not able to pull off the technical part. But you know what I did pull off? Actually going to the John Berrigrease Marathon. And Pet Appreciators, it was a mad dash to get all the staffing ready. I just I didn't have time to do the technical part. But that worked out okay, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But I was able to get all the staffing worked out, drive up there, beautiful drive to Duluth, and I was watching the clock, you know, in my truck, and it looked like I was going to make it. I was going to make it on time, and that, to me, is phenomenal. And so I got up there and reread a couple of the different text messages, and it looked like I was supposed to go to the free parking area and take a shuttle. Well, that was probably my biggest mistake of the weekend, because I should have gone to the pay lot, because then I would have actually got there on time. So I got to Two Harbors on time, but then the whole free parking and waiting for the shuttle, you know, set me back a little bit. But when I got off that big school bus with all the other families and people attending, little kids to senior citizens, I could hear in the distance as we were all kind of trucking down the road towards the starting line. And we could hear the dogs barking, and there's people everywhere, and bonfires happening, and people trying to stay warm there. And then I heard his name, Ryan Anderson. If you remember last week or a couple weeks ago, Ryan Anderson is the husband of Dr. Nicole's friend. And he's the only person I know of who's racing in this thing. And he won last year, and he won a couple other years. And that was my goal, was to get there and watch all the mushers, you know, take off. And so I heard his name. And then I started to book it through the snow. And, you know, I'm not the best runner. I'm not a bad runner. But in deep snow, that was a little bit tricky. But I was rushing and huffing and puffing, trying to hang on to my purse. And I finally got to the starting line when they were saying 10, 9, 8, 7. And there he was. There was Ryan Anderson, the back of Ryan Anderson, the back of the sleigh, the back of him, and the back of all the dogs. But I got there just in time to see him, you know, off, and the dogs take off with him. And so, and he was the last musher of the main marathon. You know, because I was waiting for the shuttle and that kind of thing, I missed all the other ones. But that was okay, because there was a huge group for mid-distance. And there was another big group for the juniors. Way to go, juniors, too. What a personal challenge that is. Although, of course, they don't go as long. But it's just still all by yourself out there. And it's just you and the dogs navigating the trail. I think that's fantastic. But anyways, it was so much fun, and now I am very grateful that I did not do the show live and work so hard at getting all the technical pieces put together, because it was so loud, you know, and I didn't want to be anywhere but right there at the starting line. I didn't want to move off to the side, you know, I didn't want to not have a view. I was like a little kid experiencing something for this first time, which it was for me. And I loved it. I loved all the components, you know, listening to Jason come on the show 5 or 6 years in a row and talk about all these components and then to actually see it put together. And every time Jason is on, I always learn something new. And I don't know why. I don't know why I haven't learned everything in 5 shows. You know what I mean? And him talking about it, because it's always a little bit different that we try to cover with each show. But there I was, right there at the starting line, loving it, digging it. The energy was great. Everybody was so happy and cheering everybody on. And I learned some more new things. And I love that. I loved it. And I wanted to share that with you just because it was such a joy, you know, for me to learn that. And, you know, and just visually seeing everything, you know, all the dogs up in their trailers and all the preparations to get them ready, you know, their paws, you know, prepared and their booties on and, you know, hooked up onto the sleigh part, the ropes, everybody's hooked up in a certain way. And, you know, just watching the mushers get ready. And then they have these handlers, well, actually way back where the dog trailers are, the dogs are so excited and sometimes it can be a little bit slippery. And so they have these like mini trucks, you know what I mean? With big tires at the back of the sleigh, holding everybody back. Otherwise, the dogs would just go bananas and take off. And the dogs were all bananas. I mean, I have no idea. The excitement level is phenomenal. And I think here in the city, when I see a dog that's excited, I think, we all know sometimes it's hard to calm down a real excitable dog. And but this was beyond excitement, beyond anything I've ever seen. And so it was really exciting that way. But the trucks would have to ease up on the brakes a little bit as the dogs moved into position as they were waiting their turn to get up to the starting line. But it was real fun. And they had all these handlers, you know, whether they're volunteer or family members or spouses or whatever, holding on to different parts of, you know, like the dogs, different sections of the dogs lined up just so they wouldn't get all tangled up and everything. And then when they came around to the starting line, one thing, pet appreciators, that I really valued about that experience was the announcer was so personal. He was so, he knew so much about each individual musher. He knew their history. He knew who they were connected with in the community. He knew their family systems. And there was a couple of family systems that had different family members participating, whether it was a dad in the regular marathon or a mom in the regular marathon, and then one of their kids in the junior marathon. It was just, you know, really neat to see some of those connections, or somebody who was racing in the main marathon and they owned a kennel and taught, you know, sled dog racing. And then to see all the kids that were participating in that program, you know, be in the junior race, you know, that kind of thing. So it was really neat that way. And plus a little bit of a bio. I'm sure the mushers submitted something, you know, that they wanted to be read about them. But, and they came from all backgrounds and, of course, all over the country, too. So that was fun to see people traveling. And there was a group of mushers that came down from Canada as well. So that was fun. But there was also something just real personal that you probably wouldn't ever know about them. And I think that's the mushers themselves probably submitted that. But just real tender experiences, you know, the first time that they ever were introduced to sled dogs, or, you know, something really silly and corny about them just to make that human connection, you know, and to make everybody in the audience kind of smile and that kind of thing. So I liked that. I liked knowing so much about these humans that were going to go off into the distance, not really to be seen again, you know, by the public for many, many days. It's just going to be them and the dogs, you know. And then, you know, of course, at the checkpoints and the rest points, of course, there would be a team of veterinarians and people, you know, checking on the dogs and making sure that there's enough food and, you know, all that kind of thing. But for the most part, it's just the musher and the dogs navigating this trail of, you know, the wilderness all by themselves, you know? And another thing that I learned and that I really, it just gave me what do I want to say? Not a new perspective, but maybe a new perspective, but it was something that I really enjoyed watching, and I felt like it was a special moment. But the mushers, when they get up to the starting line, you know, there's other people holding and locking down the sled, and the musher gets off the back of the sled and slowly takes his or her time and interacts with each of the dogs on his or her team. Right down, you know, the mushers get right down on their hands and knees, and they're petting the dogs or kissing the dogs or telling them, you know, we're going to have a great race and we love you. And, you know, they're just very, very kind and petting them and, you know, kind of getting them all focused and that kind of thing. It was very one-on-one, and I really liked seeing that, you know, just to be right there and just to watch them. It's like their relationship in action, you know, their personal private relationship with each one of those dogs. You know, that they took the moment in the last, you know, 90 seconds before they were taken off. That moment was all focused on reassuring the dogs and keep getting them focused and petting them and loving them. And I just didn't know that that's what they did. I thought they would be doing things like getting their gloves on and making sure the ropes weren't tangled up and all that kind of thing. But oh no, I mean, they were still petting their dogs when they were going 10, 9, 8, you know what I mean? And I'm like, quick, get on the back of your sled before they take off. But they always seemed to make it back on, and up until the very last second, they were touching and kneeling next to their dogs, and I thought that was really precious, and I liked that, and I just like seeing that human interaction. And you know me, pet appreciators, I bring that up a lot, just that human bond and what we can learn from each other, and just how deep it is, and I saw it. And I loved it. I saw it with strangers doing something different that I would never do with a dog. And I loved it. And I was grateful for it. And I have more to share. But I want you to share too, Pet Appreciators. Always feel free to call in 952-946-6205. And we'll see you after the break.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. One of the best parts of owning a new Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota is the service that comes with the vehicle. With my service package, I don't pay for anything. Oil changes, routine maintenance, and front-to-back coverage, it's an amazing stress reliever to have the cost of maintaining my vehicle included in the original cost. And Rudy Luther's top-notch staff takes care of everything, making my life even better. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Ken Hagelin, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will be discussing Lifting the Veil, Revealing the Spiritual Truth About Dying and Death, where we will be sharing insights on the four aspects of our spiritual pain. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
Your home stinks. What, you didn't notice? Odds are you're immune to the smells in your home, but the stink is definitely there. That means it's time to bring out the pros from Zero Res to clean out the dust mites, dander, and bacteria festering in your carpet. This month, you can get three-room Zero Res clean starting at only $119. Plus, this month, you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Tuesday at the precinct caucuses, the DFL starts its process to endorse congressional candidates. Get informed before you go. This Sunday at 10 o'clock on AM 950, we'll hear from the two DFLers who want to defeat Republican Congressman Jason Lewis. That's Angie Craig and Jeff Erdman. Then at 2 p.m., we hear from the DFLers who want to defeat Republican Eric Paulson. That's Adam Jennings, Brian Santamaria, and Dean Phillips. Listen to the DFL congressional candidates starting Sunday at 10 a.m. on AM 950 Radio.
Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime. Mo is serious about burgers, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties. Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Not to mention more than 60 beers on tap and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for The Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, The Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM 950.
Thanks for staying with us, pet appreciators. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's just me, Kathy Menard, today as Dr. Nicole took the day off. But I would love your company, so always feel free to call in with any sort of questions or comments. Not medically trained, so can't really answer those, but anything else you might want to chat about. 952-946-6205. Again, it's 952-946-6205. So anyways, thanks for listening to me as I was sharing my John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon experience as a spectator, a first-time spectator. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I did get to see the team of the main team of veterinarians, who most of them are from the metropolitan area here. So that was neat as well. And then I just wanted to say, you know, Dr. Nicole's good friend's husband was Ryan. Is Ryan Anderson, and he ran that race again. He was a winner last year, and I think he came in second this year. So just a shout out to Ryan Anderson and his group of dogs. And one thing that I learned too at the starting line, there's, you know, many women and many older girls, you know, teen girls participating as well. And so I just think that was cool, you know, that it was sort of a almost half and half gender type activity, you know, a type race. But there was a woman that they had highlighted because she had run the mid distance 3 years in a row, and when I was looking at the stats earlier, it looks like she won a fourth year in a row. And her name is Martha Showiler from Finland, Minnesota, or Finlandson, I forget what it's called. But anyways, way to go! Just because she was a woman doing it, and I just want to say a special shout out to that. But yeah, so that was my experience. I just wanted to say that and share that with somebody because I just really learned a lot and loved it. And next year we'll probably get the technical part down. And I think that would be really fun and to get some film and stuff. But I just have to think about it because it was right there and it was so loud. There's no way you could hear me. No way I could hear anything coming through the microphone or the headset. So I just don't know. So whatever, if it works out, it works out. But I certainly want to be a participant again next year. But, you know, we have our own wonderful things going on, don't we? Pet appreciators all over the city, all over the Twin Cities and the metropolitan area this weekend with Super Bowl. Whether you're into the Super Bowl or not, there's definitely a lot of really fun activities for all ages. Oh, fun, fun, fun. I'm pumped. Even though the Vikings aren't in there, I thought they had a great season. So go always support those Vikes anyways. But there's just so many fun things between the Super Bowl and I don't know if the Winter Carnival in St. Paul is still going on, but my gosh, that's just a great big hit. And then of course the city of Lake Sloppet, and they stretch that out, as all of you know, to cover both weekends, to coincide with the Super Bowl activities. And I just want to shout out to a dog named Chili. Chili is one of our clients at the Urban Dog. He's a black lab mixed with something with really long legs that makes him really speedy and a fast runner. But in one of the ski-joring races last year at the City of Lake Sloppet, Chili came in second. So way to go, Chili. And he's going to run again in the same race this year. They're hoping for a first, but either way, I'm sure it'll be just a blast. So just a special shout out to Chili, and I've set my cell phone to 2:04 because that's the time that he is set to start the race. So, and I think he's going to end up on maybe the south side of Lake Calhoun. I'm not quite sure, But if you're interested, pet appreciators, in some more dog-friendly activities, or you want to go down and just join the fun, there is, the ski touring event today. And I think maybe a dog sledding one around 3 or 4 o'clock, but you can always find that out on the website for the city of Lake Sloppet. So, but anyways, go Chili. Your dog walker's cheering for you. So, but anyways, lots of fun stuff going on. And if you're not sort of an outdoor person but looking for ways to burn energy for your dog, it's too late for today, but it isn't too late for the next few Sundays. And that is Rosedale Mall has opened its doors in the earlier mornings on Sundays. Sunday mornings from 9 until 11 from January 14th through February 25th. You can walk inside Rosedale Mall, and I think they even have a part that's off-leash, designated off-leash, I think. I found out a little bit about it on an email that I got. It's probably on their website, too, for sidewalkdog.com. But I was reading about that and thought, well, for people who just cannot stand the cold or their dogs cannot stand the cold, this is another fun activity. And again, it's Sundays, January 14th to the February 25th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., I did read one review about it. I personally don't take a lot of, interest in reviews, but this one was a little bit helpful because it did say that there was some owners that were using retractable leashes and how that was a little bit of a challenge, trying to navigate, along the walking path of the mall when there was other dogs on retractable leashes and kind of going every direction. So great idea, but maybe just to make it a little bit more greater, if you do go, try not to use a retractable leash or keep it in the locked position. So, and I have my own thoughts about those retractable leashes. Just not my favorite in any way, shape, or form. But anyways, something to do on the inside. So, so pet appreciators, go Chili. He's my hero for today. I'm going to cheer him on for sure. And if you were out last night, like when I was doing my rounds last night, it took me by Lake of the Isles. And even if it didn't take me by Lake of the Isles, I live over there. Plus, I would make a special effort to get there. But, the Luminary Walk, I'm not quite sure if I'm saying that right, pet appreciators. Engineer, do you know if I'm saying that right? Luminary?
Yeah, sounds right.
Sounds right to you?
Luminary's the word.
Just the walk? Yeah, where the candles are lit up and they have, Christmas lights on the little island out there and all kinds of bonfires going on. I think they even had a live band. I was driving around from one house to another and I was going around Lake of the Isles. And I saw a couple women on the sidewalk, like across from the lake, like they were waiting to take their turn to cross. And they were there, they were bebopping up and down, dancing away. And I thought, well, that's odd. They're all bundled up. I mean, it's fine to dance, but what are they dancing to? And then I rolled my windows down. And you know what? There was a band out on the lake. It was mostly percussion, but that explained everything to me. So I guess I have a band out there too, but I'm sure there's lots of other fun activities. But it was neat because people were walking around with their, different multi-generation of, grandkids to grandparents and of course, dogs that were hardy enough to withstand the cold. So it's another thing to get out there and enjoy for sure. But remember, it's frigid today, pet appreciator. So make wise choices about whether you're going to transport them or not. Please do not leave them in your cars. Please keep in mind what their paws can handle. Please keep in mind that even if you have their paws covered, frostbite can happen very quickly to the tips of their tails, the tips of their ears. And of course, we have to really keep in mind just their internal organs. So just weigh in the pros and cons today if it's worth it to take your type of breed of dog out into the cold weather. Some are made for it and some just aren't. But we are going into a commercial break. It looks like the engineer just took a call. And so I'm going to ask if this caller wouldn't mind just holding through the commercial break. We just don't have time to even introduce you yet. So stay with us, pet appreciators, and I look forward to the phone call. Stay there.
Moe's Tax Service on Ford Parkway in St. Paul has been preparing tax returns since 1971. They're one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the country with a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts. Tax laws and forms are always changing, and you need someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Visit www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026. Moe's Tax Service. They work for you, not the IRS.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
The first sentence of his email said, "I'd like to stay anonymous." And the second sentence said, "I'd like to donate $1 million to the Global Good Fund. Where should I send the check?"
I'm Tony Lloyd, and I'm the host of the brand new show, Social Entrepreneur. If you love stories that engage, inform, and inspire, you don't want to miss it. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park or visit HabitationDesign.com.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny and cold with a high near 5. Wind chill values as low as negative 20. Tonight, mostly clear with lows around negative 2 and wind chill values as low as negative 16. Monday, highs of 17 and lows of negative 5. Moe's Tax Service has been working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. They're located in St. Paul and are one of the largest sites to electronically file taxes in the country. Returns are electronically filed the same day and your refunds are fast and secure. Check out mohstax.com.
Welcome back, pet appreciators. Welcome back to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I want to thank our caller, Lynn, from Minneapolis, for calling in and especially holding on over the break. So we do appreciate that, Lynn, and I would love to chat with you. So what do you have on your mind today?
Okay, I originally had two questions. That's turned into three questions.
Okay.
First, on your going up to the sled dogs.
Yeah.
How many people? How as just a bystander? How many people were there viewing it? And how, you know, were they like 50, 100, 1,000? And were they just people, or were they all people that were in this, you know, related to the sled thing? And then how close could you get to the sled dogs and the people, or the mushers and stuff? I mean, did you have to stand back about 20 feet or 50 feet, or, you know, could you really see the race going on? And did you get a good look at it, I guess?
You know, I did, but I wasn't pushy, but I did make my way right up there. So I was like, right, I bet I was like 4 feet from the dogs.
Oh, that's close.
Yep, yep. I was, but I was like, so they had like this wooden loft thing where the announcer was, and then there were speakers on both sides. And so I was like right in front of the speakers, which when I got there, I mean, it was, I couldn't like quite get any closer because then I would be in the way of the track, you know, because I was probably about 4 feet. Like it was a path, and then it took a turn, like the letter L, if you can, and when it got to the like the lower part, or like the turn, the lower part of the letter capital L, that's where they would stop and, you know, announce the racers and that kind of thing. But when they were making that curve, that turn, I was about 4 feet. So if I took a step and reached out my hand, I could touch them, you know? So you could get, you know, really close. And then they had just small fencing quite a long way down where everybody was, many, many people were lined up there, you know what I mean? Where you could see the front of the racers and, you know, watch them as they pass by you. But that was very interchangeable. People were moving in and out of that a lot, depending on what musher was on his or her way out. So I think there was a lot of family and friends that wanted to get the photos and a lot of support people, because I think they then took off and made sure that they had all their supplies and gear ready to meet the mushers and the dogs at the first checkpoint. So there was a lot of interchanging. There was a lot of media people there. But I think in the thickest part, it was probably maybe 4 people deep. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just so long. And they did have some small sets of bleachers there, just small sets. And yeah, so I don't know. You know, I have no clue, but I would say at least a couple thousand. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I was just kind of curious as if they made you stay back like they do in car races and stuff, you know, or whatever, just so you don't interfere with the dogs or the dogs would get scared or, you know, whatever.
You know, that's a really good question, and I had no idea. But I just kept, as soon as I heard Ryan's name, I just kept running towards the loudspeaker. And then when I got there, I just kind of, you know, I'm not super tall, so I was able to kind of wiggle my way through. And the snow was pretty deep. I mean, I helped a number of people kind of trying to walk through that area that kind of, you know, basically fell in the snow, because it was kind of deep in certain areas. But no, I got real close and I just stayed there for fear of giving that spot up. I was just like a little kid. Oh, I hope I didn't look too bad, but I was really happy. So it was fun. And and Jason said that about half the people that do come up are from the Twin Cities area. And so,
dog lovers, I suppose.
Yeah, and people who probably know somebody, or maybe they're, you know, there's a lot of vet techs, and so, you know, maybe they're family members of them too. Who knows? But it was a really good group of people, and everybody was cheering everybody as if they all knew everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody, and the announcer was so great. He made sure he said something real special. You know, just as the mushers were, you know, taking off again, you would count down as a crowd and then they would take off, and the announcer always had something very personal, very kind, very encouraging to say as they dashed off, you know. But no, they
were
close. You
hear so many horror stories about just, you know, how people are cruel to animals, and it just kind of warms your heart to hear them, you know, have nice things.
Yeah. And the concern, and I think the concern is very legitimate too, about, you know, the cold weather and their paws and all that kind of stuff. I'd say well over half had the booties on, and I don't know if the other ones had that cream that you put on. And I,
oh, mushers,
you know,
cream secret, yeah.
Yeah, you would probably know. And but it's like, you know, I feel somewhat naive, you know, Lynn, because I'm from the city and we do so, you know, oftentimes, and in good ways too, we treat the dogs different. They're much more pampered, but
they're,
I don't,
houseplant.
yes. And maybe pampered isn't quite the right word, but And of course, you have to be really careful because look at all the numbers of injuries and all that that has been cut down. But these are really born and bred to do this, and they really
sorry,
wouldn't
I'm here.
Be. Oh yeah, no problem. But they're definitely born and bred to do this, and very different than what we would think of as a dog here in the city. You know, So that was interesting as well. But yeah, so if you want to come up, I don't know, I just say go for it, people, if you want to try it next year. It's just really fun. It's just a very festive festive thing. But anyways, I'll shut up. And what was your second question?
I was just going to say, my second question was about being a dog walker. And with the Super Bowl going on downtown, and I'm sure there's dogs downtown, and some of them you have to walk. How did you or what did you hear from your other dog walkers that, you know, what was it like? Was it hard to get around? Was it, you know, kind of a lot of police or a lot of security? Or did you run into that? Or were you able to just get around freely?
A little bit of everything. So, you know, it's myself, you know, with my business, the Urban Dog, I predominantly do the majority of the downtown route. And then there's one or two other staff that can help out. And this past week, I definitely had somebody else helping out. So for me, the first big snowstorm where we got those 10 or 12 inches, that was horrible. For like 2 or 3 days, that was probably the hardest, more than the actual Super Bowl setup or whatever. But related to the Super Bowl, it was. I'm glad you asked that. I was telling my son this the other day. It's fascinating to watch all the preparations. And as a dog walker, I got to see that on the very, very outside. You know what I mean? I wasn't part of anything. So, but just driving by and walking by, you know, it was really interesting seeing just the unique types of vehicles needed to transport unique types of objects to make things out of them. You know what I mean? So that was like interesting. And we did run into road closure problems, but not an awful lot because it was so condensed to certain areas. And then you've got the Nicollet Mall. So you can't drive on that anyways, where most of the family friendly and people friendly, you know, activities are, outdoor stuff. But crossing it, you know, they did have a lot of, I think maybe National Guard helping to deal with traffic issues, you know. So if you were in the heart of downtown, getting across some of those streets were a pain. Parking is always a pain. And that was sort of most of the conversation between myself and the other downtown staff was just, where can we park? You know, what are we going to, you know, do? And so that was sort of a hassle. The other thing, though, that was helpful was a lot of the clients that live downtown, they were just able to talk with their bosses and work from home. So we didn't have quite as many. And then there was a number of people that worked downtown that just didn't go into work. You know, they lived in the suburbs and we take care of them, their dogs at their homes in the suburbs, but they just didn't go to work. So then we didn't have to, you know, so it, in some ways it kind of evened out a little bit. Friday night though, when I was transporting dogs home, well, there's only two dogs in that Super Bowl area. I forget what that's called. East Town, I think they call it. So in that district to deliver two dogs, opposite end by the stadium. I think they call that East Town now. And so, and then the warehouse would be on the other side of Hennepin. But the just two dogs, not a big deal, just two dogs. And I shouldn't say this on the air. Gosh, am I jinxing myself? But I always find an illegal parking spot, you know, close to the door, put my flashers on, get the dog out of the car, race through the door, get my fob ready to open the security door, rush to the elevator, up, 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 run down the hallway, put the dog away and do the same thing back. You know, coming back down. And so, but just two dogs and these two buildings were two blocks apart from each other. And that took me 45 minutes to do. So that was kind of a hassle. But yeah. So, but that was when things were picking up. You know, the parties were starting and everything. That was another thing. And I'm sure if you were downtown too, pet appreciators, you could feel the excitement build day after day after day as more things came up and more, you know, security and police and, you know, those small little Humvee things, you know what I mean? Just, it was just such a there was more of a build and a build and a build each day. And my favorite part of dog walking downtown during this whole thing was I'm very, very close. I cover all the districts downtown plus St. Anthony, Maine. Oh my gosh, Pet Appreciators, I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. And I think I'm addicted to watching it. But the, what are they? Oh my God.
Oh, the gliders across the river?
Yes, the gliders. What is that called?
Yeah, I can't
what
think
is
of
that?
Either.
Zipline. Zipline. I loved it. I love seeing these people all time of the day and the night. They were going into the evening too, and a beautiful snowfall one evening, and sure enough, four zip gliders. As I was going across from downtown to St. Anthony, Maine, they were, of course, coming the opposite way from the Nicollet Island Inn. And it was so cool. There they were, darkness, late at night, freezing cold, beautiful snow, and there they were flying through the sky over the river. And that was cool. So to answer your question, I love being a dog walker during this time because it was just fun to be like a fly on the wall and see everything kind of happen. And it was really, really cool. And I hope everybody who's down there now is having a time of their life because the city of Minneapolis and the metropolitan area put on one heck of a party and a celebration. And whoever was in charge of that, many people, I'm sure, have done just a phenomenal job. I am so impressed, even though that has nothing to do with dogs. We are coming up on a commercial break. And do you think that your third question we can cover in the next segment? Is that okay?
Sure. Okay. I can hold.
So stay with us, Pet Appreciators. We do appreciate you so much. So stay with us.
Hi, it's Tom Harbin, and this Valentine's Day, I want you to stop at Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park. Jimmy and Helene Pessis have created a family atmosphere where generations of Twin City customers have made it their jewelry store. At Continental Diamond, you can shop without pressure because no one works on commission. In addition to the outstanding selection of jewelry and watches, on Valentine's Day only, they'll be hosting R.J. Kramer Flowers and L'Amour Chocolates for those last-minute shoppers. Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Get ready for the 2018 Blue State Ball. Hi there, Matt McNeil encouraging you to join us for a great annual tradition for Democrats and like-minded left-leaning individuals. The Blue State Ball is set for Saturday, March 10th at the same great location we were at last year, the Blaisdell Mansion in Minneapolis. Coming back to the Twin Cities are two of the station's favorites, Tom Hartman and Norman Goldman. We'll begin the evening with a VIP event starting at 5:30 with hors d'oeuvres and drinks, and at 7 p.m. the general admission begins. With it being an election year, we are expecting a ton of special political guests. And as always, Mike McAtee, many of the great weekend hosts, and myself will be there too. Hang out with great Democrats, check out the sponsor table, and enjoy the rousing speeches taking us into the evening. VIP tickets are $100 each and are limited. General admission tickets are $35 each. Go to am950radio.com for ticket information. That's am950radio.com. Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell, 2322 Blaisdell Avenue in Minneapolis. It's the 2018 Blue State Ball. We'll see you there.
You got a favorite candidate you're supporting for governor? Let us know about it. Call AM950 now or anytime before caucuses on Tuesday and leave us a voicemail telling us who you are supporting and why. You know the number, 952-946-6205. Or perhaps you're passionate about an issue or a legislative candidate. Here's your chance to say it on the radio. Call 952-946-6205 now and then listen to hear your shout out played on the Mike McEntee Show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m.
Finding the best foods the Twin Cities has to offer is easy with EatLocalMinnesota.com. Offering the top local and independently owned restaurants, EatLocalMinnesota.com has everything from burger joints to cocktails and fine dining. STEM offers exquisite and exciting wines from around the world, served in a beautiful space showcasing a culmination of old world and new. While wine is their focus, STEM also has artisan beer, seasonal cocktails, and delicious rotating small plates. STEM is located at 24 University Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. Learn more at stemminneapolis.com. Lowry Hill Meats, located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis, are friends with their farmers. Relying on regionally sourced, clean, quality meats, they take pride in their aged beef, skin-on pork, house-made sausages, and air-dried poultry. Their house-made sandwiches should not be missed. Find them online at LowryHillMeats.com.
just joining us, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And it's me, Kathy Menard, by myself today, but we have a wonderful caller who has gone through a couple questions but has one more. Or maybe it's just something you want to talk about. So, Lynn, go ahead and share what your third thing is.
Okay. Well, this is kind of a downer part, so sorry about that after having such a nice topic earlier. But I live in an apartment, and it's a pet-friendly apartment, and that's how they advertise it. And there is another person in the apartment. There's two more. Well, there's more than that, but there's one in particular that lived here also. And I guess you'd say a medium-sized lab, and this other person has a Jack Russell in a way. It's a mixture, but it's a part Jack Russell. And the dogs, the Jack Russell would bark at the lab, but they finally became friends, and they were fine with each other. And then in a little while, another lady moved in, or another person, I should say, moved in, and they had a chihuahuas. And those guys,
so there's more than one?
A lot. And then you'd start getting complaints from other residents in the complex that there were dog barkings. And, you know, couldn't they shut the dogs up? And then there were other things going on also. So this one lady decided that it wasn't fair that she had to keep hollering at her Jack Russell for barking at these chihuahuas that would bark at her dog. And so I'm just, it's just kind of sad. So the Jack Russell, the lady decided that, you know, it wasn't fair, and that so she tried hard, and it took a couple of months, but she found it a good home, and it's out a ways from the city. But it was just sad that she had to go to such extremes to find, you know, she had to get rid of her dog or, you know, whatever. And it's kind of like, well, can't people who don't like dogs also not move into a dog-friendly place? And secondly, I don't know. It's just sad. And I was wondering if you or your listeners had any suggestions on, you know, whatever to justify it in my mind, I guess, the feelings of it being so negative.
Right, and that it wasn't a win-win situation for everybody. It was kind of a losing situation for one person.
Yes.
And I know that you shared this with me before, and you know, it did bother me because it felt like there was a number of puzzle pieces in that situation that just weren't even tried to fit, you know, like weren't put into the big picture. And so that it bothers me, you know, and I'm learning more here as you shared it a second time. But I just want to say that it's an apartment, but it's also an assisted living place. And so there's that other dynamic of a lot of staff around, and but that should be positive. You know what I mean? That should be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, too, I have no idea, but Pet Appreciators, if you find yourself or someone that you love in this situation, you know, dog-friendly assisted living place, which is outstanding, period, fantastic, but they're kind of pioneers in that, I would think, and so maybe don't always have all the info and skills needed to figure out how to deal with these types of problems. You know, I'm assuming more of them would be more medically related, or, you know, like medication related, or, you know, just other things that happen in assisted living places. So, you know, but I think too in an assisted living place, I mean, it's there's a lot of people who are older, and this will probably be the last pet that they own. Clearly, before they moved in, they had this pet. This wasn't a brand new pet,
mm-hmm.
I don't think, for anybody. And so any of the people that live there with pets. And you know, you're saying goodbye to other parts of your life. It doesn't mean that it's a bad goodbye. It's just that it's a goodbye. You know, a goodbye to your home, a goodbye to your yard. It's a goodbye to the neighborhood you used to live in. And starting on your next journey of this is your next housing place. And the main constant thing that you have, because I do have other clients there too, is your dog gets to come with. And that's really remarkable and really important. And, you know how pets are. You know, if we had to, every time we had to move, if we had to give up our pet, that hurts. You know, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. I guess I personally couldn't do it. It's like my child. And if you don't like my pet, then maybe you don't like me neither, and I'll find another place to live, even though I'd have to move again.
Right, and to me, barking annoying can be annoying, but oh my gosh, there's so many things you can do. You know what I mean? And it sounded as if the first time that we talked about it, it was sort of like the one woman that moved in later with the two chihuahuas mm-hmm. really aggravated the situation, or her dogs aggravated the situation because she didn't know how to handle it. Aggravated mm-hmm. the situation with the original owner with the one dog. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. In my mind, there was so many other things. You know, if there's still vacancies, could one of them move to a different floor or to a different end of the building? Could there be different exits that they take their dogs out of? Why is one barking dog worse than somebody else's other barking dog? You know, is there a way to, you know, just in any sort of apartment situation, all the things that you can do, put them in a crate and cover it up, or put some music on, or put some towels underneath the door so they don't bark and hear everything that goes by in the hallway. Because it's probably busier hallways than normal because they have nurses walking back and forth and nutrition people, et cetera, social workers, whatever. And it just seems like maybe closing the shade so your dogs don't see, you know, people walking back and forth on the in the parking lot and dogs outside going for walks. And, you know, it just seems like there was I'm glad you brought it up. I just feel so sad for the woman who, although it was her choice, but I feel bad that she didn't have a lot more support. You know what I mean?
And trying to help. Yes, me
because
too.
It is her last
and
pet.
And it was basically, what there is only one main door. And that's where the barking took place, was at the main door. There was a little bit in the apartments, but nothing at night, so it's keeping people awake and stuff like that. So it was a sad situation.
Yeah, and when you think it's like it's her last pet, and why did she mm-hmm. have to give that up? You know, because she. Yeah, I mean, she was in good health herself. Her pet, I'm sure, would have passed before her, and so it would have been her last pet. And I feel sad that that opportunity was taken away from her or whatever, or not supported.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, but it's 30 seconds. Engineer is at the end of the show. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Honest to God, how did that happen? You sure we didn't miss a segment? I don't know how that happened, Pet Appreciators. He said it's it. He says, Kathy, go home. So, Pet Appreciators, enjoy the it's not beautiful, but it is beautiful in its own way. Be safe out there. Enjoy all the wonderful festivities. We care so much about you. Lynn, you were terrific. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing. And Pet Appreciators, we care about you. And go Chili, 204 start, ski joring. Go Chili. Take care, everybody.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, why propaganda matters.
Because devious politicians use it all the time to promote their selfish agendas.
But propaganda is sometimes used to champion good.